everybody. God bless you. You can have a seat. I told them in the first service, I think that was the first time that I have ever been introduced with Super Bowl music going on. So it's pretty interesting. And so, you know, as I was thinking, I thought I should start out like, here we are today, ladies and gentlemen, for two powerhouse teams squaring off for the battle of the century. The powers of darkness against the kingdom of heaven. The reality is the game is over before it started, for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has already conquered the enemy. Yeah. Well, Kansas City and San Francisco won't be that good, but it'll be worth watching. Amen. So, you know, before I get started, I was just thinking during praise and worship, there's different kinds of scriptures in the Bible that serve different kinds of purposes. And I like dessert scriptures, don't you? I like the ones that say all the good stuff, the sweet stuff, the tasty stuff. But how many of you know if you just eat dessert all the time, it's going to put your stomach in knots and rot your teeth, amen? Then there are spinach scriptures. I hate spinach. And my mama would say, eat your spinach. Because spinach scriptures are those kind of scriptures that I call distressing scriptures. There are scriptures that can be distressing to hear, but they're good for you. Amen. Scriptures that say things in the Bible like, I sought for a man who would stand in the gap, and I found none. God went on a search to find somebody that would do what he wanted and not what they wanted, and he couldn't find any at that time. That's distressing, isn't it? Jesus said it in the, this is not what my message, so this is bonus, amen. But Jesus said it in the New Testament when he said, many will say to me in that day. When he said many, that means it's probably going to be the method of choice for most folks. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do many mighty works in your name? And didn't we cast out devils? I mean, this is pretty powerful. And didn't we do mighty wonders? That's powerful stuff. And I will say, I didn't know you. Wow. And that's a distressing, that's spinach scriptures. But that's good for me because it tells me this really needs to be about him. When we sing that song, Back to the Heart of Worship, it's not about me, it's about him. When I make life about me, I get frustrated because have you noticed everybody does not cooperate with you? But when I'm living for him and I'm cooperating with him, then his blessing rests upon me and I can handle people that don't cooperate with me. Amen. Well, that's for free. I want to talk to you and say that the kingdom of heaven is at hand today. I believe that something from God is happening in this room right now. If he's here, it has to be happening. And where two or three are gathered, the Bible says he's there. So we meet that criteria, so he's here. And when he's here, he's up to something. That something is within reach for all of us today, if we will. And I'm going to talk about a scripture from Matthew 4 where Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. I've been in the ministry for 40 years now, a little more, and I've traveled all over. I was in a supervisor role for the Four Square Church, and I was supervisor over this church at one time, assistant supervisor, 6 states of churches. So I've traveled in all kinds of churches, all kinds of places. I've been all over for the Lord. And I've discovered something real interesting. That people in this world tend to talk about hell more than they talk about heaven. Have you noticed that? Have you ever heard anybody say, now that guy right there, he's a heaven of a man. You don't ever hear that, do you? Oh, I sure as heaven will do it. Or, man, that dude could run like heaven. We don't ever say things like that. Why would we attribute those abilities to hell instead of heaven? What's going on? It's crazy, isn't it? It's kind of interesting how it works. All you got to do is replace the word hell with the word heaven, and it feels odd to say it that way. And it's awkward. I can remember years ago, I was the manager of a five and dime chain. I was the assistant manager, rather, of the warehouse. So I oversaw all the orders, and everybody that worked for me was either on parole or probation. So I can tell you, there was, how shall we say, dicey language that was used back there. And one day I heard a guy scream at the top of his lungs from the back of the warehouse, "Oh, you know, H-E double hockey sticks." And I went back there and I said, "Why does hell always come out of your mouth? Why don't you just say heaven sometimes?" And the next day I was walking back there and I heard, "Oh, heaven." Can I tell you that the atmosphere started changing around there? That the very focus on heaven, like Jesus said, changes the atmosphere. If you look at things that are hellish, then you feed on things that are hellish. But if you turn your back on them and you look on that which is heavenly, then heaven feeds your spirit. Whatever you look at and focus on tends to feed your spirit. That's why in this life, the enemy stirs up a lot of pain, because if he can get us looking at the pain, we will not look at the plan that God has. If you can learn how to see the kingdom of heaven in the middle of pain, then you will see the work of God start to happen in your life in spite of anything the enemy brings against you. But even theologians focus more on hell than on heaven. The Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia says this: "The biblical doctrine of heaven has never received, from a theological standpoint, the consideration that theologians have given to the doctrine of hell and eternal punishment." Even people that study the Bible tend to look at the subject of hell more than heaven for some reason. William Shedd wrote a book called Dogmatic Theology. He had 2 pages on heaven and 87 pages on hell. It's for some reason that the things of hell have some kind of pull and attraction on how we tend to look at life. And it's crazy that heaven doesn't get equal billing with the subject of hell. Now, I get why it's important, because I don't want anybody to go there, right? So it's an important thing to think about and deal with. But what if heaven was the answer for hell? What if we were focusing more on the bad thing rather than the answer for the bad thing? What if the kingdom of heaven was so powerful that it diffused and showed how powerless hell was if we're walking in the kingdom? I want to walk that way, don't you? It makes an old hymn come to my mind. "Standing tall and looking good." That ain't no hymn, y'all, but boy, it'll make you stand up, I tell you what. The kingdom of heaven makes a difference. But what if heaven was the best remedy for hell? Now I want to show you what Jesus' main message was. Matthew 4:17. "From that time, Jesus began to teach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" What did Jesus say? "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." But look at this. It says, "from that time." And I said, "from what time?" Because from that time, he began to say something apparently differently than what he was saying before. What was that time? What was it that contributed to Jesus that made him from that time begin to say, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand"? Well, Jesus, if you go back to verse 1, had just had a showdown with Satan. He had been in the wilderness fasting for 40 days without food, and him and the devil, the powers of darkness and the kingdom of heaven, came to a collision. It was the Super Bowl, everybody. It was the big game. And right there, the devil threw everything he had at Jesus and tempted him to throw off the kingdom in three different ways. The first thing is he walked up to him because the Bible said he had been fasting for 40 days and afterward he was hungry. I'm hungry now, much less 40 days from now. Amen? By 40 days from now, I'm thinking a side of beef on a tortilla would be good. The whole side of beef. And he was hungry, and the first temptation of the enemy is to walk up to him and said, if you're really the Son of God. See, the devil always wants you to have to prove something. If you are the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread and feed yourself. And instead of facing what the enemy offered and letting his desires and appetites rule him, he repents, which just means he turned around. He turned his back on Satan and quoted the word of God and said, man, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And right there, he practiced turning his back on the enemy, not entertaining his suggestions or lies, not feeling like he had to prove anything to the devil. He turns and faces the kingdom and declares what God's word says, and he conquers the enemy in that temptation. Then in the second one, he takes him to the pinnacle of temple. I've been there in Jerusalem, stood on the Mount of Olives, looked across and saw the pinnacle of the temple. If anybody jumps out of there, there's a very slight possibility you could survive it. And in that particular moment, he says, once again, get him, if you're really the Son of God, cast yourself off. Just jump. The angels will catch you. And Jesus, once again, I'm not talking to you. I think in Hebrew it means talk to the hands. It doesn't mean that, but kind of does, something like that. He turns his back on him. And once again, he says, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And conquers him again. Then number three, showdown comes. We're in the third quarter looking for the fourth now. Amen. Hey, you know what's good about here? Everybody's wearing their jersey today. I told my brother right here, I'm glad there's a referee in the house because we need to keep peace in here. Amen. He takes him up to a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, if you'll just bow down and worship me, you can have all that. Man, what would that be like? You'd think right now, I'd be debt free. I'd have hot and cold running servants taking care of me, giving me manicures and pedicures and sending me T-bone steaks. And, you know, I mean, you'd be singing that song again, standing tall and looking good. You'd be, you know, I mean, thinking like that. All this is yours if you'll worship me. And again, Jesus turns his back and he looks square towards God and he said, it is written, you shall worship God only. In him only shall you serve. And the Bible says, and then the devil left him, and the angels came and ministered to him. The kingdom of heaven started functioning. Luke said it this way, after all of that, then Jesus left in the power of the Spirit. From that time that I just described, Jesus began to say, after the showdown, after breaking the devil's back, after turning on him, looking square into the kingdom, the ministry of heaven, the filling of the Spirit, and walking out in the power, he said, let me tell you something. Here's what I'm going to say from now on. Repent. Turn to God. because the kingdom of heaven is right there at hand in the middle of every situation. He's at our finger. The kingdom is at our fingertips. It's at hand. It's not far from any one of us. And that's how Jesus did it. That was his modus operandi. That's how he lived life. Heaven and earth would join together as he declared the kingdom of his hand, of God is at hand. What an incredible offer, right? Can you imagine with me what we are being offered by the Lord? That the King of the universe steps into the room and makes an offer to us to join with him in his kingdom, where all of his life and resources dwell, to share in his rule and reign, to exercise his authority, and to represent him and heaven's work right here on earth right now in this room. Wow. I want to show you how talented we are. Let's say that backwards together. Wow. Coming in or going out, it's good. Amen. But look at this now. That's what Jesus said he would begin to do. But I want you to know what he wants us to do. And he said in Matthew 10, as you go, preach, saying what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. We are supposed to be saying exactly what he says. And then what will happen when we say the kingdom of heaven is at hand, God's power, his kingdom works. It can heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you receive, freely give it. If God gives it to you, then you need to be giving it away. And that it is equated with the Lord. I wonder what would happen if we would just start saying that. I wonder what would happen if you're going through the line at Whataburger. Sir, can I help you? What would that be? And I just, go in there and say, look, I want a double meat Whataburger with cheese, cut the onions and jalapenos on it. And the kingdom of heaven is at hand, by the way. What? I wonder if we would have the boldness to do that and just see. Wouldn't it be fun just to see what happened? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I had a friend of mine, Bob Johnson, up in Waxahachie, Texas, and Bob's office was the Jack in the Box. Amen. He was at Jack in the Box every night. He'd be there at midnight, and he'd just sit there and talk to people. And one night, the kingdom of heaven unexpectedly visited and manifested at Jack in the Box. He had been talking about God, talking about God, talking about God, and all of a sudden a person behind the counter said, I need to accept Jesus as my Savior. So Bob led him to the Lord, and the person sitting over here said, I need to get saved too. And this one over here, and everybody in Jack in the Box got saved. The kingdom of heaven showed up. Wow. There was a woman in our church. She worked at one of the Mexican restaurants in town, and there was a co-worker, and she led this guy to the Lord on the job, and he wanted to be water baptized. And he wanted to be water baptized in the creek down behind his house. So we said, okay. And they said, Pastor, he doesn't want you to water baptize him. He wants my husband to water baptize him. Okay. And so we all gathered down at the creek. But it was unexpected how the kingdom of heaven was about to visit in that particular moment. I got to his house, and he had invited all his neighbors to watch him get water baptized. There was 25 or 30 people piled up there, fried chicken on the table, thank you, Jesus, amen, all over the place. And the water, it had been raining. We were sliding down that creek to get down there to it. And Jay Axtell, he baptizes that guy in the water. And when that guy comes up, he goes, praise God. And he looks at his neighbors and he said, who's next? I need to get baptized. all over the creek bank. I need to get baptized. Jay goes, what do I do? I said, get them in the water and ask them the question. Did you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for your sin and rose again on the third day? And if they say yes, dunk them like a donut, brother, and bring them up out of there. And all these people unexpectedly got water. The kingdom of heaven was at hand. The kingdom was operating in that unseen realm, but we couldn't see it with our physical eyes. We have no idea what's functioning alongside of us right now. And Jesus went on to say to them, then he said to them again, peace be unto you. This is how peace comes, everybody. As my Father sent me, that's how I'm sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. See, that's just like Jesus. Jesus went in the power of the Spirit from that time saying, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He breathes on them, they receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and he told them previously, say, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We just do what he did, everybody. It's not that complicated. I'm trying to figure out how to do ministry. Just walk in there and say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And let God do what he wants to. Amen. Isn't that good? And so the desire is to go like him. By the way, not only are we to say what he says, but he wants us to pray that way as well. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knows that you have need of these things before you ask. After this manner, therefore pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand on the earth. That's what we are to pray. I wonder what would happen if whether someone comes up and says, I need prayer, and we don't ask them what they need, we just start saying, Father, in the name of you, we start praying. I wonder if we stopped and said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does heaven have to give right now? What does God want to release right now? And we ask him what he wants to do. And we pray the kingdom of heaven because that's our commission, everybody. Our ministry and our prayer is for heaven to be on earth. That's what Jesus said. And when we do, we get our daily bread. Isn't that what the prayer goes on to say? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I like for my debts to be forgiven, but it's harder for me to forgive others what I think they owe me. And you know what? Unforgiveness is like a big toad frog in a water line. All the water, you know, it cuts the water flow. Unforgiveness will just keep us from letting the kingdom flow. And St. Augustine said that's called the terrible petition. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, the Father, the Heavenly Father, will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. It's hard for the kingdom to come in power with unforgiveness in our hearts. And how many of you know that's tough? That's hard. Have you ever had anybody mistreat you before? And it gets on your mind? You know what happens when you get, when someone hurts you and you can't let it go? Everywhere you go, they go. They eat supper with you and they sleep in the bed with you and they travel with you. I had a guy upset me one time and I was letting him have it, driving down the road and he was not in the car. I was telling him all about it. Well, I'll tell you, wouldn't you, I was straightening him out, you know, an invisible person. He was riding in the car. He is affecting the way I was driving down the road. And all of a sudden, you know, God says things the way you need to hear them. It's special just for you. And this is how he said it to me. Oh, mighty man of God. He said, you know, I wonder what would happen if I empowered his life and your life, and if both of you started making contributions for the kingdom. I wonder what that would do. And right there I said, Father, bless him coming in, going out, making the head, not the tail, let everything that he touched have the power and presence of God. And you know what? When I started praying for the one that I thought owed me something, and I cut off the string and said, you don't owe me nothing anymore, freedom and liberty and the kingdom of heaven settle in the car. Oh, I'm not saying it's easy. I know, because I stood in a courtroom and locked eyes with a man who killed my daddy. So this isn't some cute thing I preach, it's what I have had to live. And I remember locking eyes with him and saying, on behalf of my mother, we want to tell you that your life is going down a destructive path. And your choices have took the life of a man. But not only did it take us our father, you're a father, and it took you away from your own children. It took you away from your wife. And our prayer for you is God so radically enters your life that it forever changes you, and that your life will be used to make a contribution rather than a subtraction from humanity. You know what that did? That caused the kingdom of heaven to work in my life, because if I had a bitterness against him and it ruled me, then he would lead my life and not God. And instead, I wanted God to lead my life. And that's it. You can look at the pain, or you can look at the plan of God. You got to make a choice what you're going to look at in all of situations. Because how many of you know in this world you will have tribulation? You're going to go through some stuff. You're going to go through some stuff. And you can focus on that, and it will shape your thinking, and you will be led by that. Or you can repent, turn your back on it, and look at the kingdom of heaven and let that inform how you're going to live in your life. I feel that old song coming on again. Standing tall and looking good. It's not spiritual, but it helps. Amen. In other words, God gets you up so if you forgive others. Because listen, everybody, this is so important. Thomas Watson said, a man can as well go to hell for not forgiving as for not believing. And Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, said, unless you have forgiven others, you read your own death warrant when you read the Lord's Prayer. Because the Lord's Prayer says, forgive others their debts. That's how the kingdom works. When it works, it helps you escape temptation. It delivers you from evil. It releases the king's dominion, power, and glory. And all of that is released. But I need to say something. It's very, very important. That heaven is a kingdom. The kingdom of heaven. Heaven is a kingdom. I don't know what you have it imagined as, but it is a kingdom. The word heaven, that's the Hebrew word, shemaim. And that's the Greek word, amen. And those two words have three different meanings that are used for different types of heaven. One is the aerial heaven, which is the atmospheric space. That's where weather forms. The other is called the celestial heavens. That's where the stars are. Psalms 19:1 says, it's supposed to be 139:1, says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. When you look at the stars, you see his creative genius. But then there is the third dimension, or what Paul would describe as the third heaven. And that is the eternal dwelling place of God. That's where he is. Wherever he is, the kingdom is with him. He is the king in his domain. He is the king exercising dominion, kingdom. And that is the most important aspect, because it's not atmosphere, celestial, and then you go up higher. No, no. The kingdom is wherever the king is, where two or three are gathered, there he is. The kingdom is in this room right now. Amen. It's a spiritual kingdom. The invisible world, the invisible God, created the physical world. We are physical beings, so we interpret everything by what we see. God exists in an invisible kingdom that's alongside us all the time. That's why he can show up in a courtroom in a tragic situation. And I can find him in all kinds of different situations. Martyrs in the Bible saw the heaven open while they were being stoned to death, right? The kingdom was there. And so I'm not talking about an exemption from difficulty. I'm talking about the king in the middle of difficulty guiding us and feeding into it with his power and his presence. He's always there. This is the third heaven that Paul speaks of in 2 Corinthians 12:22. He said, I went up into the third heaven and I saw things I do not know how to describe in human language. And if I tried to, it's like it should be against the law for me to try to use these words to describe that. It's where Jesus came from when he was born in the manger. It's where the Holy Spirit came from on the day of Pentecost when it descended down and filled believers that day. It wasn't like it just come down. It was there expressing itself. John saw it in the book of Revelation when he said, and immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven and one sat on the throne. And he that sat upon it looked like jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow around the throne and the sight likened to an emerald. It was very, very powerful, but the key thing of the kingdom was God on his throne. Can I tell you that the kingdom of God is at hand and the throne of God is right in this room right now for the king to make authoritative decisions if we will trust him with what we have. He will. He will. We have to see God as real as we are. And lightning and thundering and voices came out of the throne. The seven spirits of God were around the throne. Living creatures crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, worthy are you, Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and for your pleasure they were created. We were created for his pleasure. When we face the kingdom of heaven and turn our backs on the world and look to him, the pleasure of the Lord washes down on us in our lives. In every way. God is bigger than the heavens, everybody. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less the house that we have builded. David knew that. He built him a temple and he said, I built God a temple to dwell in, but he just can't fit in there. He's out bigger than that. This room is filled with God. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's very present, but he's also outside these walls. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Nothing can contain him. I want to see him glorious and big and gigantic and beyond my ability to describe, so that I don't always yield myself to the descriptions that this world pronounce upon my life. I say, no, I'm turning, I'm repenting. I want what the kingdom of heaven has at hand. That's what I want. And that's what I need in my life. Don't you? Hallelujah. So God sitting on the throne, bigger than the heavens, uncontainable. Now the Bible uses seven different words to describe heaven. Now, this first one is a mystery. It uses the word heaven to describe heaven. Just thought I'd say that. But it also means tabernacle, which means God came and tabernacled among us. That's the way it described Jesus when he was here on the earth. The tabernacle has mobility. In other words, you can pick it up and move it. It's not just a stationary place. It's more than the building. A temple. The crazy thing is the Bible teaches that this is not the temple. Now it teaches that this body is the temple. and the presence of God is in me. And where I go, His presence is always there because it's housed inside of my life. It's the house of God, so that's what I'm talking about. It's His sanctuary. It's in a place. Heaven is an abiding place for the Lord. It is where the throne of the Lord is and where He exercises dominion and the glory of God. Can you imagine that everything that I said is actually occurring inside this room because God is here in His authority, that holy, holy, holy is being sung over our meeting right now? In that spiritual realm, it is alive and it is dynamic. It is heaven on earth. It is Him setting up His dwelling place among us. It is Him establishing His throne among us. It is Him moving among us as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We saw it in the dedication of Solomon's temple. The priests could not get up because the presence of God was too heavy. They just couldn't get up. By the way, I've had that happen to me. I'd like to see it happen again. But I went to Nigeria, Africa, to preach in a four-square church over there. Well, it was really like a four-square district conference. And when I walked into the room, there were probably 1,000, 1,500 people there. And they were singing in a way that just the presence of God was so thick. It became physically tangible. I don't know how else to say it. And the brother came up and he took my Bible and he started walking to the platform holding the Word of God out in front of him as this high praise was going up. And I'm walking behind him and my legs start buckling. And I start praying. I'm not ready. I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready. Please, please, God, get me through this. I need to get back to my room and pray. I'm not prepared for what You're doing right now. The kingdom of heaven was at hand. Aren't you hungry for that? Aren't you hungry for that? For Him to come in His strength and His power. I'm almost finished. We have crazy ideas about heaven that don't line up with the Scripture. We say things like, well, heaven and earth is what you make of it. Oh, no, 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 no. It's a kingdom. Well, kingdom of heaven, when it's over, I'm just going to be stress-free and float on clouds and play a harp. No, no. It's a kingdom. There will be a king. There will be a government. There will be authority. All we're going to do is worship God day and night. No, 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 no. Worship will go on day and night, but we will be called to rule and reign with Him. And I don't know what all that looks like, but it's going to be awesome. That's all I know to say. The kingdom of heaven, heaven is a kingdom, and it's operating. So I want to stop right now, and I just want to say to everybody, the kingdom of heaven is at hand right now. And I would like that we would take a moment like Jesus did way back there and say, would You breathe the Holy Ghost on us right now? Would You breathe upon our gathering? Would You just... And then, would You do the things that happen in the kingdom? That if there are sick people, would You touch them with Your hand, Lord? And if there are people that have been tormented by the work of the enemy, would You just dispel that, Lord, and touch it right now? And would You just draw near to us, Lord, and breathe on us and pray? We'll just pray is all we'll do. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We'd just ask Him for that. And just let Him do what He wants to do. And that in each situation, that His power and His glory would fill our lives and fill this place. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? If you have something like that that you need from the Lord, if you want to be prayed for because you're sick or ill, you've got something you're struggling with. If you've been struggling with something that it's tormented you in some kind, and it doesn't always have to be like mental anguish because we're mentally not adjusted well. It could be this circumstance is causing me stress and difficulty, and I need God to touch that situation. If that's you, could we just be the kind of people, we don't have to have a special mood. We just come to our God, and it's because we know the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you've got that need, as he leads us in a little worship, would you just step up and come and line up across here, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to breathe on this situation. We're going to ask him to touch us. Go against that war, because there's always that voice that says, oh, I want to, but I no, go against that voice. Turn your back. Turn your back on the voice of the enemy. Repent. Turn and face the kingdom of heaven and ask him to come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Isn't it good? Isn't he good? Hallelujah. Let's start to ask him, everybody. Everybody in the altars, everybody back there, let's all join together and say, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Breathe on this place. God, receive. And he's saying, receive the Holy Spirit. Right now, receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Begin to talk to him about what you want him to touch. I'm going to come by. I'm just going to pray a brief prayer for you because it's him doing it. It's not me. And you close yourself in with the Lord. And let's all say it in the room together right now. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand in my situation. And he is touching it now. In the name of Jesus. Brother, just lead us in a worship song. Everybody, just keep praising the Lord, asking for his touch, and I'm just going to come by and pray for each one of you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Father, I'll join hands with these people. I thank you. The Lord says, I'm strong and mighty, and I'm touching situations, and nothing can withstand me. The authority of the Lord is released in Jesus' name. Father, thank you that you're making ways where there seemed like there wasn't a way, and that your power and presence is released because the kingdom is at hand. Amen. Let's say it again, everybody. Stay calm. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Thank you, Lord, that you're touching right now in the name of Jesus. Let me back up just a second. I'm going to come back and pray for him again. If you're out there and you have a friend up here, would you come and stand behind them and be praying for them until I get there? Because we want this to be a house of prayer. Thank you, Lord, Father, for this young man. Lord, that the kingdom of heaven is present and that the authority of the Lord is changing things now. Father God, we're turning our back on the talk of the enemy. And we're accepting the power of your kingdom. It's at hand. The Lord says, I'm stomping on the power of the enemy. He's scattered. His influence is being dispersed. And the authority of the king is here. He points his golden scepter of authority to you and says, come unto me. I'm going to show you what I can do. Father, in the name of Jesus, that the kingdom has come in great authority. Lord, that heaven kisses this life right now in the name of Jesus, and the liquid love of God washes over these things and brings everything under the control of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. Father, thank you for your son, God, that you have appointed unto him a path of righteousness, and you have appointed authority unto him, that today the kingdom of heaven extends its hands and joins hands with him, and where two agree is touching any one thing, it's done. He does it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And everybody just be praying as we're praying with them. Let's say it again. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your sister. The Lord says, today I'm embracing you. with the strong grip of God. That I've got this. I'm squeezing the life out of anything that the enemy has thrown against you. But I'm hugging you up closer to me, and things will change right before your eyes. Father, Lord, release the power of your kingdom, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your daughter, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the authority of the Lord is. The Lord says, I'm coming out like a roaring lion. I'm roaring and scattering the enemy. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Father, I pray that you release health and life and vitality into your daughter, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The enemy has come up and he said, look at this, look at this, look at this. But today you said, no, I'm repenting from looking at that. I'm turning my back on it. And I'm looking at the plan. And the Lord says, what I'm about to show you will be so glorious, it will be hard to find the words to describe it. Lord, work your works. Show your daughter the power and the fullness of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Always say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Father, I pray for your daughter right now in the name of Jesus, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Lord says, come away with me. Spend a little time with me. I've got some things I'm going to show you. Things about your life and things about your future. And I will bring the ministry of heaven to bear on this. Today I'm causing scales to fall off your eyes, so you will see into the Spirit what I'm up to. And all I ask is that you join me in what I'm doing, and I will make all this other that you have come to me for get in line and be straightened out in Jesus' name. Remember, the Lord said, seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. So, Father, I give you thanks that the kingdom of heaven is at hand in the name of Jesus. I pray for these three, Father, as they're unified right now. Let me have your hand here. We'll make a little circle. Father, in the name of Jesus. The Lord says, I'm coming into these situations with the strong arm of the Lord. The right arm. The right arm is the arm of authority. I'm putting my hand to it, and the enemy will wax powerless in front of me. He will melt like wax before the fire. You will see that I am the orchestrator of a divine harmony, that I put all things together. The Lord says, I'm releasing a new song in your heart. And sing it, sing it. Sing the song wherever it sounds like this. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You just sing it wherever you go, and the authority of the Lord will be released. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I got to say something to you, the Lord told me to say. He told me to say to you, mighty man of God. He says, sometimes you don't classify yourself that way, like a mighty man of God, but you are, that the Lord sees you differently than he sees yourself. And today, God says, I'm causing the scales to fall off of your eyes, and you're going to see yourself like he sees you, and turn your back on the past and look into the plan, God says. Father, I pray that you're giving them a new dance, a new celebration, that I'm putting a skip in your step, because you're choosing to turn your back on the world and you're looking at me. The kingdom is now authorized and functioning on your behalf. Father, release your power today in Jesus' name. Lord, thanks for your daughter, that the Father says, I'm coming with strength and might on your behalf. I'm just going to say it like he says it. He said, I'm going to show out. I'm going to show out for you. I want you to be able to see what I'm up to, and I'm authorizing things in your life, and it's going to be different today because we're saying it together, everybody. The kingdom of heaven is at hand in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hello. I'm going to come for you in just a second. Father, are you up here for prayer, or were you praying? Okay. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the strength of the Lord invades your daughter's physical body. The Lord says, I'm massaging sinew. I'm massaging muscle. I'm realigning bone. And that I'm causing life and vitality because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Lord, put your hands on the life of your daughter and cause the perfect, divine, directed touch of the Lord to flow through her, Father, with life-giving vitality. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord says, I'm going to give you some laughter. I'm not talking about right now. I'm talking about you're just going to be at home, and I don't know, you may be over by the dishwasher, and you're just going, the joy of the Lord, it's going to be a gift of His sweetness for you, all right? Great joy. Thank you, Father, for your daughter here in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, Lord, I give you glory because there are those times like this one right now when the Lord says, I'm coming to reshape a perspective. I'm coming to remove some strongholds. And it's not that the devil was possessing. It's not that kind of stronghold. It's just a pattern of thinking that the Lord says, I'm going to disrupt that pattern. And the mind of Christ, the King of the kingdom, that you will think His thoughts. And the Lord says, as you think those thoughts, I'm going to show you pathways around obstacles, pathways over obstacles, pathways under, and pathways through them. In other words, I'm going to make a way. And it's going to be different because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I give you thanks for my brother that right now, in the name of Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is what I see for you, the Holy Spirit showed me. And see, that there was a place and where He says, I'm reinforcing your heart today. And you can see it's like the Lord is propping up things. He says, I'm holding it up. I'm building a strength around your heart today. Because there are things of the past that were hard on the heart. And the Lord says, today, I'm strengthening the heart. But I'm not strengthening it, He says, just to get over the things of the past. I'm strengthening it for what I'm about to do for you and what I'm about to ask you to do. The Lord says, I'm turning things around that what the enemy meant for pain,